a different issue, and the mood is a different issue. If we have to be scientific and analytic and unemotionally attached, really, Libyans are not ready yet. The process is all a bit daunting and overwhelming. They'd have needed a little bit more time, really. There's over 100 political parties. You know, how can you comprehend, understand, analyze, and get to understand the various personalities and policies of over 100 parties? It's impossible. You know, even I, till this moment, I'm still, you know, wavering as to who to vote for. So readiness, if we can put that aside, because now, in reality, it's fait accompli. After tomorrow, Saturday, we're going to have elections. Libyans abroad, diaspora, have already started. So the elections are in process. As for the mood, it's fever pitch excitement, I tell you. You know, most of this generation born post the last elections, which were during the king's time, you know, in the 50s and 60s, most of them have never witnessed or experienced elections. So they're all very excited. We are all very excited and looking forward to Saturday, those of us who are within Libya, to actually cast our vote.
There are some people who express concern that the issue of voting, the process of voting or democracy, is alien to Libya, and that the process might not necessarily work, and it's being imposed on Libyans. What are people saying concerning these concerns being expressed by people who obviously are not overly enthused about this whole democratic process?
Well, first, let's make that very clear, that the people who are not enthused and not interested in the new democratic process are the people who represent a very small minority of the old guard, and they have tried very hard to derail this train. Secondly, the facts and figures speak for themselves. You know, 2.8 million Libyans able to vote have registered. That's 80% of Libyans who are able to vote have registered for this election, despite us just coming out of war situation, displacement, disorganization, many Libyans still abroad, etc., etc. That, I think, says lots for Libya's enthusiasm. I mean, this old argument that is used in the third world and developing world, that democracy is an imported product, system, or principle, it's baloney. You know, it's used by tyrants and dictators to avoid giving the citizens and the people their full and natural rights. I think democracy, the procedures may change and may be different and may vary from country to country, but the principle, the idea of giving one man, one woman, one vote, transparency, accountability, meritocracy, I think are universal principles, and nobody really, from Marx, communism, Lenin, you name it, has succeeded in putting up an argument that stands the test of time, that says there's a better system than democracy.
Now, Sami, what is next for Libyans after they vote in Saturday's election? What are their expectations about this new dispensation that they are supporting?
Well, the roadmap is very clear. It was announced by the Transitional National Congress, the NTC, back in 2011 in March when the revolution started in Libya, and that they were very clever in quickly setting out clear, transparent documents so that the population and the populace knew what the revolution was about, knew what they were revolting for, why they were supporting them. They promised that we would have elections so many hundred days after Libya was liberated. Libya was liberated in November, and as the NTC promised, so many hundred days, 200-odd days later, which is in June 2012, we're going to have elections. These elections will elect the National Congress, which will also only stay in power for a year. They will write Libya's permanent constitution. Remember, we don't have a constitution. Mr. Gaddafi suspended that the minute he came to power in 1969. We have been a nation without rights, without constitution. So they will choose a committee of 60 representing all regions of Libya to write a constitution. They will elect a new government. They will elect a new prime minister. and get us ready for full proper elections in 2013, and depending what the constitution has decided, whether we'll be a republic, whether we'll be a kingdom, whether we'll have a presidential or parliamentary system, whether the incumbent will be in power for 4 years, as in the United States, or like the French one, for much longer, or the British. So all that will be decided by this National General Congress, or this very, very important set of elections.
Are Libyans excited about the prospect of their country in the future, looking at where they had come from Gaddafi's rule until now?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. We tried Gaddafi's way. We tried to believe him. We waited and waited for all the promises he made. The bottom line, and, you know, I challenge the most ardent support of Gaddafi, the bottom line is the oil money, the oil wealth, was not spread, was not distributed equitably, equally across Libya's population. Libya is a rich country, yet Libyans were suffering poor education, poor infrastructure, poor roads, poor health, no human rights, no civil liberties. You know, what's the use of all this money without all these liberties and rights? Thank God, Arab Spring sprouted in Tunisia, and the winds of change blew across Libya on the way to Egypt and back. And then Libyans are all convinced that, you know, the ideas of having transparent, responsive, responsible, representative leaders is a minimum necessity. They don't want dictators. They don't want families ruling. They don't want mafias ruling, gangsters. No, we don't want that. Libyans want governments that change regularly, a system that enables every citizen to change the government so that it's representative, responsive, and looks after the needs of its people.